Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, it's evening now, isn't it? Staying light a lot later than it had been doing. And greeting in the names of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father. But even more than that, Father, we're asking for him to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, so that we can receive and understand and grow according to the truth of this word, Father. Because we know that all of this word is true. It's all sincere. We know, Heavenly Father, that the promises you make to us, you don't break. If they get broke, it's because of us, Father, not of you. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to get Sister Millie up here and let her sing us a song or two. I don't know what the Lord's lay on her heart, but whatever it is, she'll let us know. Sister Millie. I want to thank the Lord for being here tonight, and I want to thank the Lord for all you all. And yeah, I put him first, and I pray for everybody, day and night. If I was a preacher, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd keep on preaching and work on a building too. Working on a building, a Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's a Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a lawyer, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd quit all my lying and work on a building too. Working on a building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's the Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a judge, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd quit judging people and work on a building too. Working on a building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's the Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a doctor, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd keep on a doctrine and serve Jesus too. Working on a building, Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's a Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a drunkard, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd quit all my drinking and serve Jesus too. Working on a building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's the Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a drunkard, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd quit all my drinking and serve Jesus too. Working on a building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. That's the Holy Ghost building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a preacher, I tell you what I would do. I'd keep on preaching and serve Jesus too. Working on a building, the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. While kneeling by her bedside on a cottage on a hill. My mother prayed the blessing on me there. She was talking loud to Jesus while everything was still. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. She was pouring out her heart to Jesus there. And I gave my heart to him, and now I save my soul from sin. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. Since I gave my heart to Jesus, now I'm working now for him. And someday I'm going to meet him in the air. Cause he heard my mother praying, and he saved my soul from sin. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in prayer. She was pouring out her heart to Jesus there. And I gave my heart to him, and I saved my soul from sin. Yes, I heard my mother call my name in her.
Thank you, Sister Millie. Brother Bobby.
I want to thank the Lord for being here tonight and all the church families, and pray for our country and everything, our leaders and everything, because it's getting very bad. And the Lord's coming is quicker than a lot of people think. God bless all of y'all out there.
Okay.
I once was lonely and idle. I was a sinner too. I hear a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand and joined a heavenly band. Now I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I will serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I lost my flag and banner. My staff is in my hand. I take it to Jesus over in the glory land. Over rough ways I had trotted, taught me to come to God. Now I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I'm on a battlefield for my Lord, my Lord. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I promise him that I will serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I'm fighting for the kingdom. The battle must be won. The trumpet will be sounding for the coming of the sun. I lay my arrows down, take up the robe of crown, and I walk the streets of gold with my Lord. I'm on a battlefield for my Lord, my Lord. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I promise him that I will serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. I'm on a battlefield for my Lord, my Lord. Yes, I'm on a battlefield for my Lord. And I promise him that I will serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim gladly story, if I seek for the sheep a going stray, I am sure he will show me his glory. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. Here for carriers as we must serve, here's the sorrows are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighting forever. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. And if heaven is early described, and I try and I will obey, twinkling bells are in raptures of heaven, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way.
Thank you, Brother Bobby. All right. You know, it's always a good thing just to lift your hands to heaven, to praise his holy name. We don't do enough of that. We don't do enough praising our God. We sit in our seats, keep quiet, and just don't do enough of it. Over this past month that I've been going through this trouble and trial, brought a lot of things to me. Be surprised some of the things he's talked to me about. It seems like each day that I go through it, he gives me something that day. And it wasn't all the time things that I didn't know I hadn't never read or seen, but a lot of it was, but it's things that we just don't think about. I'm going to share something with you that he gave me just this morning. They used another minister to do it. I was sitting watching a Christian station on television. Andrew Warmick, come on. How many of you know him? None of you? Don't know anything about Andrew Warmick? Lord, he's on Daystar. He's also on our Louisville Christian channel. And he's on three or four times every day. He's a good man. He'll give you this word just the way it is. Just like we do. And he was preaching on a subject about prayer. Well, we all know that we're supposed to pray. And as he had gave me back a week back, that I wasn't spending enough time in prayer communicating with him, just like I wasn't spending enough time in the study of his word. Remember, I shared all that with you when he gave it to me. But you see, I don't hide or cover up nothing. And if it's something I've done and I shouldn't have done, or something I should have done didn't do, I'll share it with you. Just like I'm getting ready to do right now. Now I was sitting there, and I've been asking him for an answer. To give me an answer about my healing. Because you know, we all know that God don't lie. In fact, the scripture says God can't lie. And he don't break a promise. The promise, when he made a promise in the Bible to you and I and to all of mankind, that promise is also a covenant. And he does not break his covenant. And I've been asking, Lord, I know that it's not you. It's got to be something that I'm missing out on, causing this to just keep dragging on. Because your word has told me to ask, and I have asked. But your word said that if I ask, you'd give me what I was asking for. So what have I done? Or what is it I haven't done? Like I said, that Andrew Warmick on. God got me real still. Just quiet. And Andrew Warmick come on and he said, you know, he said, a lot of us don't really pray right. I thought, well, what do you mean, pray right? He said, you know, we all go to the Lord in prayer, and we ask him for this, and we ask him for that. And if we don't get it right away, we go back and we'll ask him for it again. He said, you messed up right then. He said, when you go back and you keep asking for the same thing, you've just overruled your own prayer. He said, because he's already gave it to you. You just didn't take it. You didn't receive it. Then he said, you know, even if you don't get it immediately, that don't mean it hasn't been done. He said, it may be days, weeks, or months before you actually see it, because God knows the best time to give it to you. But it's already been done. You just ain't ready for it. And you know, I got to thinking, that's so true. Because when this first hit me, I didn't know why. I didn't know why it come up on me. Well, I did share that with you all. I'll let you know why. But I asked him then for healing. Then for several days, I kept asking him for healing. I was undoing it every day. Instead of thanking him for his healing and knowing that it's at work on the inside of me, I was going along just like it wasn't there. That was given to me when he was beaten. And you know something? The prophet Isaiah, 430 years before Christ was born, told us that very thing. In Isaiah 53, he tells you and I that by his stripes we are healed. He hadn't even been born yet. 430 years later, before he was even to be born, the prophet was telling us how we would be healed. Yet we don't look at that. We just keep asking over and over and over for the same thing. Instead of just thanking God for it and going on. Pardon me. Going on or on this warm day. That there has really got this working. Satan didn't want me here today. He tried most of the night to have me call Dennis and see if I couldn't get Dennis to fill in for me today. Me stay away. That's what the good Lord told me. I just accepted the fact that his healing fire is working inside me. And when the time is right, I'll see it. I know it's at work. I thank him for it. And I wasn't about to stay away. And I just kept getting feeling a little better, a little better, a little stronger. So here I am. Now, am I all right? No. But I'm being healed, and I'm here, and I'm here with God's word. And I'm not going to back up off of it. I'm not going to take and deny any of it. You're going to get it just like he gives it to me. Because as I've told all of you before, and I'll be telling you again and again and again, I'm not here to please mankind. I'm here to please the good Lord. And when you go to please a man, you ain't going to please the Lord. But I'm here to share his word with mankind. And do I love mankind? Yes. And will do what I can do to help them in whatever way. Whether it's by prayer or by something they need or whatever. If I got it and can do it, all they have to do is get in touch with me. You can pick up the phone and call me. And it don't matter what time, day or night. In fact, there's just one to tell you. She loves to call me about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And she knows that if I hear that phone, I'll answer. And she knows I'll talk to her. And I don't tell her, well, I ain't got but 5 minutes. No, we talk till we're done talking. And I'm that way by anybody. It don't matter. And I keep the phone right beside the bed. Not many times I don't hear it. There has been a time or two I was sound asleep to where I didn't hear it. But not many times. Most usually I'll hear that phone. But now, to share a little something with you, to give you an idea that what I'm telling you, you can do, why you can do it. Because most usually anymore, I don't go to bed till midnight. Sometimes it's 1 o'clock. But very seldom will I be in bed before midnight. I've got other things to do that don't even pertain to this world. It belongs to another kingdom and another king. And I've got several that are on TV ministers that I do watch that are real men of God. And on Tuesday and Thursday nights, tonight, they'll be back on. I watch because if you want the truth of what's going on around and about you today, tune into them. And you'll get the truth. And they'll let you know exactly what's going on out here in the world, what's going on in our government, and all. In fact, they've been shut off of two or three of the internets because they don't pull no punches either. It's called Flashpoint. You ever heard of them? They're on Daystar. At my house, Daystar is on channel 280. I don't know what it'd be, sure she'd have to find out. But I watch that, and there's several ministers on there I watch also. And they all happen late. That Flashpoint comes on at 11 p.m. before they come on. But they'll give it, it's all about you want to know what's going on out here around, out here in this world and across our country, our land. And there's a place to find out. They'll give it to you They'll give it to you straight. All right. We're going to get ready here now. Get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ain't got 10 verses in this chapter. That's all in the chapter. 10 verses. But these 10 verses, when you really go to looking at them and looking at the way the author Paul has written this letter to the Thessalonians, and you really go to looking and studying these words, there's a whole lot in this 10 verses. In fact, we may not even get through them tonight, these 10. I'm hoping we will, but I can't say we will. I don't know what all the spirits got made out of them. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brother, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit bring to you and I that message he would have each of us to hear. So we back up here now to verse 1. Paul here is letting us know who he is, who his companions are, and to who he's writing to. But he's using the word that we use today, but it's used with a different meaning here than it is with us today. Now, it's used actually both ways in God's word, but it's dependent on where you are studying of what that word means. Now, he starts out here with this, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father. And you know, when you stop there, Paul's salutation there to the Thessalonian church. Church in this chapter is not a building. It's people. Because you see, actually, and even in our day and time, when we come together, regardless of where we are if we are the children born again of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be under a tree or wherever, we are a church because we're his church. Now, is it wrong to call this place a church? No, because it is a church, because that's what it is used for. That's its purpose. And he will be here when we are here. He does not live here. And that's why we are his church, because he lives in you and I. He's there. The Father is in us, and the Holy Spirit. We have all three, the deity of the Godhead, living in us, and that's why we can do all things. We have the power to do anything, living inside. But do you have the faith to go with it, to make it work? That's where we fall short, is our faith. Now, he's letting them know here about the church there with the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get these things from the Father? Say something else. Very few know how God works. And yet we have all, at one time, if we'd read the complete New Testament, we'd read it. But you see, we might have read it at a time that really we wouldn't understand very much. Because you see, until you become that born-again child of God with the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to understand God's word as it's written. And it tells you that. That's why we've got a lot of them out here today claiming to be Christian, they're just lost as they can be, because they are not Christian, and yet they're teaching things that are contrary to God's word because they don't understand it even though they read it. And most do. Most that go to church will sit down and they'll read the Bible a little. They usually don't read very long or a whole lot at one time, but they do read it. And they'll even be able to quote you some verses. And they have mankind thinking, well, they really know God's word. But they don't. They don't know what it is truly saying to them. You know, Paul there in that first verse, saluting them, as well as letting them know where he stands. Because he is standing with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us to receive anything, it comes from the Father. But it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit. You've got all three involved. We don't think about that, do we? But we do. And that's why Jesus told his disciples that if he didn't go back to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit couldn't be sent. Because as long as he was here on earth, it was with him and only him, because you and I had not been paid for. The church age didn't start until the day of Pentecost. And your disciples had not been filled with the Holy Spirit until that day. But a lot of people want to argue with you and tell you, oh, yes, they was. They was healing this, they was healing that. That's true. But they was using a borrowed spirit. They was using that spirit from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was giving it to them for the purpose he was sending them for, and then it wasn't in them until the day of Pentecost. And then I don't know how many has told me, oh, well, you know, they was 12 that got the Holy Spirit in that upper room that day. No, they wasn't. There was 120. And they all got it. Said it set upon each one of them. And we need to be walking, those of us that have the Holy Spirit needs to be walking with the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's when we'll be able to start doing what God asks of each one of us to do. Now, we're not all called for the same work. And as several will tell you, I've got a very good friend. Took him pretty close to a year to really understand something I had been telling him all year. And yet, he was a graduate from the seminary. He'd been through seminary. But to him, I was a woman hater. I hated women because I don't believe in women pastors. So to him, I hated women. I kept telling him, no. I'd like to have a church full of them. We can use them. God will use them. But he don't use them as pastors. And he tells us so. And tells us very plainly. But he also tells them he has a work for them, and he shares what that work is. They are to teach and to guide. Your older women are to teach and guide younger women how to take care of their husbands, how to take care of their children, and their home. And if they do that, let me tell you something. They're going to be busy enough. They ain't got time to do my job no way. But when you go to 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, then you see, he said he did not call a woman to teach nor to use authority over man, but to be in silence. And in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he gets stronger than that when they're in church. He tells them that it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Then I'm going to go and sit under one? No, I ain't. Because God ain't going to work through her. He ain't going to tell her, you don't do something, and then turn around and tell a woman, well, you go do this. No. God don't work that way. He worked that way. We couldn't really trust anything written. Could we? you think that I'm wrong about what I'm saying, let's just take a look. First Timothy, second chapter, starting at verse 9. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going into it a long way. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. He tells them even how to dress. Dress modestly. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And he tells us why. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. We know she was first deceived. And then she led her husband to being deceived, didn't she? Now, I told you about the other one. I'm going to tell you something, they're not proved. Now, 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. Now we'll start here with, verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You see, they take verses like that and they pull that out. And they'll say, see, it is all right for her to preach because it says all. They don't read the rest of it because they haven't got the understanding they need. Now, for all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of any confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints, not one church, not one kind, but as in all churches. He's talking about his church, regardless of where they're at. Not talking about all these different denomination churches out here. Now, verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But this next verse. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. He's very plain. And the Spirit will guide us. That's the same. They're doing so much today in our churches that's not to be going on. This putting women in as pastors is not the only thing. Most all that we call full gospel churches today is not working according to God's word. Your Church of God, your Pentecostal, and all, they don't work according to When I make this statement, I want to show you what I'm talking about. Let me go over here and get it. Okay. Now, as I told you, I do watch a lot of churches on television because I want to know what is going on in our churches. But I don't need to be out there in them. In fact, me and you, we're told to stay out of them. We're told not to fellowship with them. And you see, if they see me going in a church that's not teaching the right thing, then they say, well, you know, that pastor goes in there, so it's all right to go, because you are an example. I'm an example. Now, if you're a child of God, so are you. And they'll say, well, they go, so it's all right for us to go. No. And that's why, you know, a lot of times we got deacons sitting places they shouldn't be sitting. Because they're drinkers. They get out here and get drunk and drink. People see them coming out of these beer joints and all. And a lot of people over the year, there ain't no way I could even count them. They just told me, I ain't going down there to that church. I'm as good as they are. I'll be out at my tavern, and deacons out there doing the same thing I'm doing. I don't need to go down there. Well, when you go to misusing God's word, that works the same way. When you become a born-again child of God, there's two things that happens to you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God gives you that infilling, as we call it, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at that time, he gives you tongues. You see, they'll tell me, you don't believe in tongues. Oh, yes, I do. I speak with tongues. But you've never heard me, have you? Because I don't use them in church. Well, why don't you use them in church? Well, I'm getting ready to let you know why I don't. And we've got them. In fact, the biggest Pentecostal church in Louisville on television every evening into the night. Their founder, their leader, their pastor, he'll tell them, let's all go to prayer. He'll get them all standing. All right, let's all pray in our heavenly language. Come on now, let's all pray in our heavenly language. That's tongue. That's what heavenly language is, it's tongue. He's one of them all. He's got the whole church standing there praying out loud in tongues. The Lord tells him, no, you don't do that. And tells you why. Now, let's come over here to about verse 14. Now let's go to 12. Even so, for as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel in the edifying of the church. We're to edify the church. Now, wherefore let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Because as you're praying in the tongues, at that very time, you don't understand even what you're praying, because the Spirit is praying for you. He's the one doing the praying, not you. What is it then? I pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, yes. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Yes, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edifying. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Five words in the language wherever you're speaking is worth more than 10,000 words in tongues. That right there will tell you something, but that ain't even all of it. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. All right, let's jump on down here, 23. If therefore the whole church become together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? When you've got that whole church standing and praying in tongues, and somebody comes in, that's their first time to ever be around tongues or anything, that's exactly what they're going to think. Them people crazy. They insane. And they ain't coming back. Probably ain't going to stay that time either. The word here says, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see, that word prophecy is misused so greatly today too, because they use that word to verify the fact that it's all right for that woman to be a preacher. That's what they use. Because the Bible tells us that in these last days, he'll pour out his Spirit upon all mankind. Our sons and daughters will prophesy. So they say, see, he said your sons and daughters will prophesy. Yes, he did. They don't stop and look up that word prophesy to see what it means. Prophesy means that you share with others. Outside of the church, she can sit down and talk with me until doomsday and share all kinds of word of God with me. But in the church, No. And nowhere in this book can you find where he said it was all right to make them a pastor. When you look at the qualifications for a pastor, even the qualifications tells you what your qualifications are. You all, you heard me preach on it before, and they have too. But we've talked about several things because of things we've known. It tells you that a pastor is to be the husband of one wife. How's she going to qualify for that? It don't say. And she is to be the wife of one husband. It goes on to tell you about the qualifications, and the qualifications for being a pastor belongs to a man, not a woman. But like I said, we need everything kept in where it's supposed to be. Now, he tells us there in 25, it says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, make things known for the church. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. Two are at the most three. So how can I get my whole congregation standing up praying in tongues? By God's word. No. And that by course. And let one interpret. Even if it's two or three and they have spoken tongues, it is to be interpreted, brought to understandable language. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You see, we're told how to do everything. Nothing left out for us. But how many are doing it today? We need to be praying for our churches in this country. If they don't come together and they don't get in God's word and reach a unity in the spirit, we are going to lose our land and our rights. And one day, we will have to make a choice in either serving Jesus and going to jail and even death, or to follow Satan and go his way and lose our souls. And that's not as far off as what people are wanting to believe. And that's why I worry about a lot of my friends. Because they won't really stay involved in church. Church is important. That's why we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because that is the way we get our help. We help each other. He tells us, for two or three of you even are gathered together, there I am in the midst. He's there. And when there's more than one, there's two or three of us together, there's power there, even beyond man's knowledge. He can do things he never thought of. Think about that. But this is why a lot of things are not working in our churches today. They're not woken by God's word. And they're not woken by it because they don't know it. They haven't been taught it, not taught it the right way. Oh, yes, we got Bible studies out there. We got Bible colleges out there. They go and they'll go through 3 and 4 years of seminary teaching. Come out ordained as a minister and come out preaching about a Jesus they don't even believe in. Think about it. And boy, we sure got through them 10 verses, didn't we? We ain't got through one. But that's all right. Spirit knew what he wanted to do. So let him do it. All right. I'm going to go to, I'm running you a little over, but I'm going to go to anyway. We gave thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And we need to be praying for each other and for each other's family. I pray for all of you all and all your families. And I meant to ask my associate pastor something I've never asked him. I'll just do it now. It ain't nothing bad. But I just haven't ever asked him about it. You got any children? Well, I've been praying for them. I didn't know whether you even had any or not. So I've been praying. You know I pray for you and your wife. You know I'm always praying for Karen. And I pray for your whole family. And, but I had never asked you if you had children or not. And when I pray for the Johnson, I pray for the Johnson family. Now I pray for you and Bobby by name. But I pray for your whole family. James. I pray for James and I pray for his family. I don't know how many he's got left, but ever how many. Well, that one gets prayer. Because I pray for your family. Just like I pray for mine. Then I pray for other, the family of our brothers in Christ. I pray for them and their families. And you know that I pray for several of them individually. But that's what the church is about. The church is about coming together to grow and to have Bible study. We're supposed to be in God's Word every day. Now, in the beginning, when they was building the churches and starting the churches, they never closed them. They went every day. And we need it. And eventually, we're going to get there to where this church will be open every evening for prayer and follow that with Bible study. And I've been praying about holding study all the way through the New Testament from start to finish. And when that's finished, everybody will get a certificate of graduation. What's everybody think about that? But it's going to take commitment. Because those that really commit to that will have to be there every evening. You have to make that part of your life. Just like I have to make it mine. You see, I'm not tying up just your life. I'm tying up mine. In fact, I'm tying up mine more than yours because I've got to do it all at home and then turn around and do it again at church. I don't use notes. The Holy Spirit gives me what I teach. But I do read beforehand. And just like tonight, I had read chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Told y'all that's where I was going to be tonight. What'd you get? One verse. The Spirit took us somewhere else, didn't he? He used that one verse and took us a lot of other places in other ways. Because he had somebody, I don't know who yet. He may tell me, he may not. But he had somebody that needed what we had tonight. We may never know. And then again, we might. But somebody needed this message, or God wouldn't have given it to us. He don't give us something that's not needed. And one day again, Pastor Kenny will be in. And then one Sunday morning, I'll take Kenny and Brother Dennis and have another round robin. I like them. And people then, they can know and understand when you talk about the Word of God coming from the Holy Spirit. Because just like the last one, when we had our last round robin, Kenny nor Dennis either one even knew where I was going to be coming from, did you? I wouldn't tell him. I told him I wasn't going to tell him. So that way, you know the Spirit's got to do it. Because we ain't smart enough to do it. I know I ain't. All right. We're going to stop here for this evening. And God willing, Sunday night, maybe he'll take me back. We'll finish up this chapter one. Because Sunday morning, Brother Dennis is going to be speaking. And this thing is what we've been needing. I know it comes from the heart. And they'll learn that. Everybody will learn that's where it comes from. But we've been needing the singing and not off of that thing. I had a theme song. And one day again, maybe, just maybe I might sing you a song. I don't think Dennis has ever heard me, have you? James has. I didn't think you had. But I'm going to have to play one back when I was really singing for Dennis. See, I've got a tape. I've played it for you. I've played it for you all. That's what I could really say. I don't do too good anymore. I got too old. But there again, when I do it, it comes from the heart. And it's done for praise to the Lord. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can all come together to share your word, to study it, to learn, Heavenly Father, to grow closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk stronger and walk stronger in faith, reaching out to share with others and help. Help the Holy Spirit to work in this world and with mankind to bring the gospel to all so that others can grow and learn that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in and for their lives so that they can have life eternal in heaven with him. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, they have very little peace, but we're praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for all of Jerusalem and Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, it's turned its back and walked away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place he was in, not even wanting his name used in prayer. But Father, help us to remove those from office that has done this and to replace them with ones who will work with us and help us to bring this nation to repentance, Father, to repent of the sins they've brought upon this people and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him back into every place he's been taken out of and making him first in all of our lives. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Father, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Millie Johnson, Bobby Johnson, Jenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Carrie Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, and brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Father, we all stand in need of that touch of the Holy Spirit to keep us strong in faith, to bring to each one of us that need that we have. Make us whole, Father, from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Use us in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up before mankind to make us of anything, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God in Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and that little full gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses. But not only lighthouses, Father, make them places of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Iron, Father, these three, they walk in places to where if they're caught will mean death and imprisonment. Now, Father, this Johnson family, my family, to the Lee family, the Taylor family, the Powers family, the Coates family, Father, I lift each and every one of them up, asking the Holy Spirit to work with them so that none in our families, Father, be lost, and all will find and make heaven their home. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mom, Bill, owner, mother, Sue and David, Payless Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, and Karen, Father. These all stand in need. Holy Spirit, touch them. Touch them in great and mighty ways. Fulfill each and every need. Now, Father, you know my need. And I'm thanking you. I'm giving you thanks, Father, for this healing that you have given to me, that's in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And Father, be with us now as we prepare to separate to go our own ways. Keep us safe. Keep us whole. Bring us back together again Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and again Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Father, until then, may they all walk with God, because we know, Father, that you will walk with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Be with us now Sunday morning. Brother Dennis will be bringing us what God lays on his heart. Have a great couple of days. In Jesus' name. Good night, all.